Blog Talk Radio.
Knowledge. So what is the universe? The universe is systems of knowledge. The universe is systems of knowledge, right? The universe is information. Information in the context of knowledge, all right? But now you can see, I hope you can, that the idea of choosing to use the word information to describe knowledge is also a hint that you have to get formed on the inside. You have to get formed on the inside, and that the role of knowledge is to form you on the inside. But now, if you get the wrong knowledge, you're going to get the wrong information, and you're going to get formed wrong on the inside. So let's go back and take advantage of that. When the imam says, he says, our thinking takes patterns, and if we do not have an orientation that has as its source in matter, you got to make sure that your information is from and grounded in, respected by, affirmed by the real natural world creation. Otherwise, it is the ghurur, which is where we are now. Creation supported social logic on our journey, creation supported social logic and the meaning of ghurur, which is basically ended the difference. Last week we talked about the ghurur. The difference of the ghurur has to do with the trained or the untrained mind. If you have a mind that's developed and the mind that's quote-unquote patterned correctly now in our information, if that mind is patterned correctly, then it'll be able to see the information that's in creation. If that mind is not patterned or not patterned correctly, then it's still an illusion. It's still a ghurur. They're not in touch with the reality. Right? And so this is the advice that the imam has given us. Make sure that your thinking patterns, your thought patterns, are grounded in the real natural world creation. If you do not have your beginning there, then you're going to take patterns that are sometimes are faulty from the beginning. And then it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, start off, you didn't see how much of a lean there was to it, but you keep seeing how, I know that's not how Tower of Pisa start leaning, but you get my point, that it's like you can be a little, you know, 1 degree off at your base. Now you keep building on that 1 degree off on your base. Now you leaning. So let's move on. So all right. So just like there are the colors that are projected based on the chemical composition of the material that's projecting the color, likewise, this universe, which is nothing but information, I use that lightly, the nothing but. Now, as I said about the TV and radio signal, right? You have a device that has the capacity of drawing down particular bands or spectrums of waves, whether carrier waves for the radio, carrier waves for the television. Fine, okay. So the idea that those radios and those TVs are like our brains. Those radios and those TVs are like our brains. Understand the metaphor, which is apt, but just want to be clear. I don't want the aluminum hat team to check in on that. MashaAllah, it was funny to me right now. So, all right. So the idea is that the brain, right? Now, so the difference between ghurur and not ghurur is brain pattern. The brain pattern of the individual, which, like the chemical composition, so your brain pattern becomes the chemical composition of you, right? So that means that you're going to absorb, abstract, and project in accordance with your brain patterns, right? And when your brain patterns are grounded in the nature that Allah has created, now you're on fitratullahi lati fatranas. When you say, look, I want to think in the way that Allah created me to think. I want to think on the things that Allah has created. I want to think through the things that Allah has created. I want to reason with and upon the nature that Allah has shown me in the classroom of the universe. All right? So when I look at spiders and frogs and butterflies and plant life and water's behavior and everything, I said, okay, what is that telling me about me as a creation of Allah? What is that lesson? And how does it play in my everyday life? Right? That's creation supported social logic. That is the language of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. That is Imam Muhammad's school of thought. Okay? Very important. So you get that, man, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah bless everybody who has advanced degrees. Praise be to Allah. I'm honored to be friends of many in close and at a distance. However, you who are not on that particular track don't think you have to have that to be on par in your thinking. All right? I'm not going to elaborate on that anymore. That is today. In the future, you may hear that again. So, all right, so where are we? So the pattern, brain patterns, all right. All right, so as your mind grows and changes, then that's the brain patterns change, all right? The chemical composition, in my analogy, the chemical composition change. And what does that do? Then you're able to absorb more of what's out there. And when you see, mind is the personalization of the brain. Mind is the personalization of the brain. Alhamdulillah, I have my beautiful, wonderful wife of 49 years, tick-tock, headed for 50. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It's like, you know, she can get a pizza out of the store, right? Get a pizza out of the store. And bring it in the kitchen. By the time she finished with it, it ain't the same pizza. It ain't that, you know, hey, Red Baron got to take his scarf off to Yolanda Maas and Shuaib. I'm just going to tell you what it is. Can't you tell? Don't be lying to me. When she puts her touch on it, it's a whole different thing. And it's the same way with other things, okay? So she has personalized that pizza, right? It's personalized. It's no longer what it was when it came off the assembly line and when it was stacked up in the store. When you come over, you put her touch on it, it's a whole different thing. All right. So it is with brains. Brain. All of us have brains, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. All of us have brains, but all of us have different experiences, different education, different interests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right? So then that's the personalization of your brain. Your brain has been personalized by, and it's that personalization is described in your brain patterns, right? All right. So as we recognize that the changing of our brains and its brain patterns and its personalizing, it's becoming personalized through our socialization, acculturation, education, et cetera, that's my brain. And you have your brain, et cetera. And so just like with the chemical composition of the materials that we just talked about, likewise, you're going to be attracted to, and you're going to attract to yourself certain kinds of knowledge. You're going to be predisposed to certain kinds of knowledge. You're going to be receptive to certain kinds of knowledge. Alhamdulillah, that's reality. That's not beautiful. Beautiful. So the idea is to know yourself in that respect. What kind of knowledge am I attracted to? What kind of knowledge am I predisposed to? See, because you may in that, I know you will actually, if you pay attention to it, you will get more and more of this discovery of yourself that we talked about from the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he who has known himself has known his Lord. So if you keep getting to know yourself, and I'll throw another word in here, phenomenology. And the point to understand that things that attract your attention, whatever it might be. Okay, you women, you're going shopping for a dress for a dinner party. Men, you're going shopping for a suit for a dinner party. Right? You go. You don't know exactly what you want. You know what kind of event it is. You know where it is. You know who's going to be there. You know those things. So you go in with that kind of criteria. But then when you step into the shop, all you do, you're just looking. You're just looking. Then there's something. There it is. Right? How do you know? There it is. Because something about you, your brain pattern, your sensitivity, your interest, et cetera, tells you that's the one. Now, it may be, allow me a little humor, you know. It may be like that television commercial where the woman said, when your phone service gives you the message, the person on the other end, they said this, but you heard that, right? So it's not a costume party. It's what she said, but then the woman heard it's a costume party. Said, oh, it's a costume party, right? So then, you know, the rest of it, she shows up that way. So my object is to say that we can find something that really feels good to us, feels good for us, but for somebody else, it's out of tune, it's out of touch, it's not the right thing. And that could be the case for so many things. I'm only saying that to say that we all don't like the same thing, we don't see the same way, we don't value things in the same way. That's good, and we have to allow everybody to be the way that they are. But you are focused on, and your interest is, you be true to yourself, and I mean that in the best way. I don't mean it in the cheating kind of crazy world way that this world said, yeah, I'm just going to be true to myself. You know, no, I'm talking about true to the self that Allah created, true to the self that Allah intends. That's what I'm speaking to. It's true to the destiny that Allah has for human beings. True to the values, like وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. True to the soul that already knows what's good for you and already knows what's bad for you. That soul, so you have to be in touch with that soul. You have to be open to that soul. You have to be aware of that soul. You have to be thinking about that soul. You have to be listening for what that soul is going to tell you. And that's what I'm saying. I use as an illustration for the shopping for a garment to explain phenomenology. It's like, see, when something attracts your attention in a very strong way, it could be a hint from your soul that, man, you better pay attention to that. You need to pay attention. Dig a little bit deeper into that, because it really is saying something. You don't quite know what it's saying, but you know it's saying something to you. Pay attention. Pay attention. That's taqwa. Pay attention. And inshallah, that's how. So this is how the soul helps you to construct your reality, your personal reality. See, because you want to construct your personal reality, you want to construct your personality upon what Allah created you as. You want to construct your personality upon what Allah created you as. And who knows who you are? Your soul knows who you are. But you have to listen to your soul. Right? And so in terms of knowledge, for example, knowledge. So some people are interested in chemistry, some people are interested in math, some people are interested in literature, some people are interested in history, some people are interested in psychology, some people are interested in whatever. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Go for it. Go for it. That's why I put this ayah 2:148. To each is the goal to which he is turning, so strive is it a race towards all that is good. You know? Why? Because everybody has a proclivity in them. That's you. That's you. And you pray for Allah's guidance that you call it correctly and that you connect with it correctly and that you're not deluded and you're not distracted and you're not confused. And given that you're in touch with that, and then you follow it in the interest of excellence, fastabiqul khairat, right? And then read the rest of that section of verses all the way like to 155 to Surah 2:155. And then he said, you know, wheresoever you start first, turn toward the sacred masjid. What's the message? That's abstract, right? What's the message? The message is develop your talents and put it on the table for the benefit of humanity in accordance with the will of Allah. develop it, identify it, to each is the goal to which you want, each, to which each is turning. Identify it, cultivate it, strive for the excellence of it, put it on the table for the benefit of humanity in accordance with the will of Allah. That's it. What else are you going to do? What else? Okay, now I ain't going to do that. Okay. What you going to do? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let's move on. So Al-Islam, and particularly the insights of Imam Muhammad into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain patterns and structures. If you understand the power of brain patterns that I'm talking to you about, and the source of brain patterns that we've spoken of, remember, there are sources of brain patterns that are bad sources, and there are sources of brain patterns that are good sources, right? The best source for our brain pattern is, as the Imam said, it's nature, natural creation, and our own souls. The insights from your soul that will come to your mind as intuitions, etc. It's like, that's the soul said, hey, try a little bit of this. Try a little bit of this. See, follow this and see where it takes you. That's your soul. Your soul has a life separate than your personalized brain. Yeah. It says, by the soul and its enlightenment. All right? Blessed is he that causes it to grow. There's two separate entities there. There's he and there's it. But the soul has the enlightenment. He's trying to get it. Allahu Akbar. The soul has it. He's trying to get it. But he's not going to get it unless he pays attention. Taqwa. All right. So, Al-Islam, and particularly the insights of Imam Muhammad into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain patterns and structures to grow into in order to be able to attract and abstract. Look, let me say this too. I'm not talking about the law of attraction. I'm not talking about the law of attraction. That thing that you're going to find when you go to Google and online, blah, 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 blah. I'm not talking about that. All right? Let me be clearer, inshallah. Listen, the universe is an infinite realm of potential. That's what the universe is, an infinite realm of potential, an infinite environment of potential. Just like incoherent light, it's like every particular spectrum of light is in wherever there is light. If there's light, then every spectrum of light is in that light. All right? Every wavelength is in that light. All right. Okay. So, but again, chemical composition decides which one is manifest. Okay, universe, same way. Universe, infinite spectrums of potential, possibility, etc. All right? What is drawn from, what one is inclined to, what one derives from, that universe and all of its potential has to do with its brain patterns. That's it. So, good brain patterns, good abstraction, when applied in the natural creation out of which the abstraction came, then the creation responds in kind with things that would help us understand. Sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. That's the universe. The universe will tell you, you got it right. Here you go. Right answer, you get the reward. Wrong answer, try again. That's how it is. That's the nature of life, okay? All right, so into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain patterns. That's Al-Islam, and particularly the insights of Imam Muhammad. Into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain patterns and structures to grow into in order to be able to attract, abstract, and to be predisposed. I mean, you have an inclination to the best knowledge in the nature of creation and in the nature of our souls. That's what we have. That's what we have by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. Adam, repeating or quoting the Imam again, or referencing Imam Muhammad again, Adam is the innate or the inborn pattern or potential for thinking in every human being. The same pattern exists in the cosmological order of creation. And again, all that is a restatement of Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. Okay? So, let's move further. Allah. No. So now, I didn't say no. Now, so Al-Islam, which Al-Islam is the system, right? And so you have all these elements that make Al-Islam what it is, right? You have the Quran, you have the Seerah, you have the Hadith, the reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those things that comprise, this system called Al-Islam. All right? Now, remember, and I want you to understand how true it is that Allah says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ. This day have I perfected for you your way of life, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you Al-Islam as your way of life. All right? So this favor, I believe let me go ahead and look it up. 49. I'm looking it up specifically because I'm disappointed in the fact that that name doesn't come to me. Al-Hujara, the inner apartments. Al-Hujara. And it said they counted as a favor to Allah that they have embraced Al-Islam. He said, count now your Islam as a favor to Allah, but Allah has done you a favor in that he has guided you to the faith if you are sincere. Right? You ain't doing me no favors, Allah. You ain't doing me no favors. So Allah is saying, I have perfected for you your way of life. And this is Allah telling us, the ones who are the recipients, whatever, just born, the mukallif that accept Al-Islam, those people who ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, who accept Al-Islam, it's like Allah is doing you a favor by giving you or guiding you to a complete way of life, that humanity's total evolution and every civilizational advancement that is involved with the arrival at whatever level of civilization, wherever you find, I don't care, you go to third world countries living in aluminum huts, mashallah, it's like that's still an advancement over the epochs of time just to get there, right? And even though they are at the bottom of the rung in an emerging nation, that is still an advancement that took itself millions of years to get that far. But when you move even past that very low level, subsistence level, survival level, wherever that might be, and then you go to the heights of the modern world such as it is right now, like the knowledge that comprises think about, you know, I was thinking about tall buildings, right? It said, you know, the naked and the destitute competing and building tall buildings. The naked and the destitute, mashallah, is like, that's the taqwa. The taqwa has been stripped from them. That's the nakedness. The nakedness is like Adam and his wife. They were stripped of their raiment, and the raiment was the raiment of taqwa. So that taqwa, so now you're naked. Right? Okay, well, that's what's happening in this world, this modern world that we're in right now. You have the naked and the destitute. What kind of destitution? Spiritual destitution, moral destitution. That's what you find, moral corruption. That's what you find in those people who are competing and building those tall buildings, right? But the idea is that, the only thing I'm trying to get to is that history that led to whatever level of success and achievement, there's a long history. And there are those who are competing, building those tall buildings, they're still using knowledge from the Egyptians. The knowledge came there, and it was tens of hundreds of thousands of years before the Egyptians themselves came into that particular knowledge. Now we have this world that's still feeding on that knowledge that itself took hundreds of thousands of years to evolve. And so many others, you know, the Oriental, the European, the African, all that knowledge. Okay, well, so it took that time. I'm talking about Allah's perfect favor. I'm talking about Allah giving you something. If you are sincere that men and women over epochs of time start to go, yeah, now we got it. And so and they lord over the world with the fragments of knowledge, but which themselves, the fragments of knowledge are themselves powerful. But they don't even have the whole picture. You know, we used to laugh about the Masons, right? But they say, yeah, they got 32 degrees. Well, we got Allah, give us 360 degrees. They only got 32 degrees, mashallah. So that being said, Allah opens up for us the universe of knowledge. But we need to understand beyond what we may have been given. That was fabricated for our benefit. We have to, you know, set that down, get the benefit, set that down, and then come over to the real. All right. So now you have the time that it took to get there. And let me go ahead and punch a quick bit. When they build those buildings, how do they count or describe the height of the building? How do they count or describe the height of the building? They count it in stories. They count it in stories. And the highest level on all these buildings, the thing that's on the top, is the penthouse. It's the penthouse. And I don't think they mean repent. Maybe some of them might mean repent. But repent in the sense of getting your senses back. That's true. But the penthouse is the one who's got the most sense. About what? The stories. Whoever has the most sense about the stories, they're the ones that's on top. That's the hierarchy. That's it, right? So all that. So the naked and destitute, da-da-da. So here we are, Muslims. Allah has revealed to us, by the grace of Allah, through and in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowledge that is superior to the penthouse knowledge. Let's make it short. Knowledge that's superior to the penthouse knowledge. What they struggled by the grace of Allah, what humanity struggled for millennia, and by Allah's grace, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent as his last revelation, a rahmatan lil alamin, a mercy to all the worlds. It's like, yeah, you built up this, but you damn near killed yourself each phase. So look, let me give you something where you can hold on to that and not die. You can achieve that and not suffer in this world and the next. So I'm going to give it to you. And whatever you have that's good, it's reaffirmed, it's underscored, it's validated in this way of life. Whatever you have that's not correct, inappropriate, won't get you to the destiny that you think it will, it's going to tell you, no, leave that aside, but you can bring that with you, but leave that here. So, alhamdulillah, that's what we have in our way of life. We're going to go ahead and leave it there. We haven't had a chance to get into the detail, but now we know where we're going to start. Inshallah, next week. Okay, so before I go, those of you on Blog Talk, push one on your phone. If you have comments that you'd like to make, please keep them concise for us. Alhamdulillah, and welcome to everybody.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Hopefully my earphones are working well for those of you on Blog Talk. They're not registering that they have come through. Blog Talk, if you can hear me, just push one on your phone so I can know that I am being heard. All right, it seems not. Oh, okay, good. I got one hand. That's good. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. So I'm going to keep going. I do have to check one thing before just walking away because technical difficulties. Pain. water, very connected. So I'm going to... My watch is dinging somewhere. I'm not sure I had it on me. Say about that. Except, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Wa assalamu alaykum. Let's go on. What we're doing, we have been addressing crazy severe sociologic and the meaning of guru.
As we do this class on Sunday morning, we go through it and then we leave some time. We come at the end of the broadcast for input, question, comments, need for clarification as well. I believe I have discovered the source of the problem of the non-switching PowerPoint slides, and that is when I go into full mode, then you can't see them changing on your screen. So I will go into full PowerPoint mode. I will only go into, I'll just do it on my screen, and I'll be able to see both at the same time. So let's give that a quick test. Changing all of these. This is part of the journey that we've traveled on before.
I'll give you a chance to look at something while I got
singing. Apple Watch, and I had taken it off just before I came in here. I set the alarm to be in here. Left it in the other room. So it was going to keep ringing in my head until I picked it up. We're back. All right, let's go. So, alhamdulillah, last week we ended on just about speaking we'll start from there. Adam is the innate inborn pattern or potential for thinking in every human being. That same pattern exists in the cosmological order of creation, to say the universe, whichever terminology you're comfortable with. And that is what is explicitly and alluded to in 3030. Fitratullahi lati fatra nasa alayha is saying essentially that. What has Allah done for us? Allah reveals the truth in concretes and abstracts that is behind the world that we experience through our senses. I'm very fond of and embrace the statement of Muhammad Iqbal, rahimahullah alayhi, from Reconstruction of Religious Thought, where it says that the laws of nature are the garments of reality. The laws of nature are the garments of reality. So you see the laws of nature, but they are only expressions that give you some idea of the form of reality, which is itself abstract, not something that reaches your senses. But the laws of nature in their operation, it reaches our senses, but they themselves are also manifestations of, forms expressing the nature of reality. So Allah reveals the truth. When we talk about the Quran, we're going to get a chance to get into it. You see those verses coming up there? Allah reveals the truth of reality in the Quran. That is the truth of reality, both concrete and abstract, in the Quran. And when we learn how to read them, that is, reading those sources, the universe, our own nature, understanding how the laws are expressions of reality, that's reading. When we learn how to read them and translation, meaning, and in turn execute their instruction. And what is their instruction? Their instruction is whatever it means in our life, whatever it means in our, whatever meaning is in it for our life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything that he created, there is in it something to benefit our life. Now, the thing that benefits our life as human beings is what we call meaning. Meaning. Your life has to have meaning. Everything has to have meaning. Yes. The less meaning you can derive from your existence, the more meaningless your life is and all the problems that go along with that sense of meaninglessness. Right, that is the starvation, right? But then also people can get poisoned as well by taking toxic meaning from creation that would have everything to do with their brain patterns, right? Okay, so the point is when we learn how to read them, and so obviously when we say that, we're talking about read them in the way that Allah would have them read to us. That you hear the first revelation of the last revelation of the Quran, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq al-insan min 'alaq. Read in the name of your God and Evolver. Don't read in the name of anything or anybody else. Read in the name of your guardian Evolver. You read, but on anything else, you can't be guaranteed to receive the guidance, because the guidance is hudan lil muttaqin. Guidance is for the people of Allah. When we learn how to read them and execute their instruction, i.e. meanings in our life, take those meanings and act on them in your life. That is creation-supported social logic. That's the very special favor that we have in subscribing to what Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi is teaching and taught us. That's a favor of Allah upon us. To be able to say that, understand that, embrace that, act on that, you have a tool. And others who don't use that tool, they don't have it. Yeah, creation-supported social logic. That's what we're talking about. We're going to go further, inshallah, with Allah's grace and help and permission into that, as we have been. Everything we've been moving through is to get us to the point where, okay, now look at the Quran, abstract from its abstract, extract from its abstract what it's actually saying, get the details, and then translate, i.e., when I say translate, I mean act on them, I translate, not really so much. I'm not at all actually talking about translation in terms of language, translating Arabic to English. I'm talking about, transduce. Let's do that. You know, you should be doing a lot of your vocabulary in that. But, yeah, I won't use translate because of the confusion that comes into people's mind when you say translate and you're talking about language. So automatically you start thinking in terms of moving from one language system to another. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about right now is transduction. Transduction. Taking something from one sphere and moving it into another sphere to bring about another reality. So listen, that's exactly what's happening with you right now. Your ears are transducing sound vibrations. Your eyes are transducing light. With light spectrum, waves of light, right? Your nose is transducing chemical particles. And so therefore you're smelling what comes into your nose as chemical particles, but then neurologically it gets translated into electronic messages that get sent to your brain, and, oh, that's bacon, or that's eggs, or that's bread, or what have you. So that's transduction. So you take something that's of one nature, and then it comes into your brain, and your brain translates those concrete things into electrical impulses, and then those impulses go to a particular place in your brain, gray matter, in your brain, and informs you that this is what you are smelling. Same way with light, same way with sound vibrations, same way with the tongue, the taste, the chemical pieces relate to that too. Tactile experiences, all that is transduction. All of that is transduction. Because those things that you're looking at outside of your eyes, that's not what's in your brain. That's not what's literally in your brain. Well, it's a reality for you because of the transduction. And that part of your brain.
So
the idea is, that's what we're actually doing. When you read the Quran, you are transducing the meaning that's in the Quran into your mind. It becomes a perception. And now when you act upon it, that inshallah, the idea is for you to get the result that which you read is really a recipe. It's just part of our guidance, right? You're reading it, it's a recipe. So if you read the recipe and apply yourself properly to the recipe, then the cake that is saying that you can bake, in my analogy, the cake that is saying you can bake, well, you'll have a cake. But yeah, how'd you get the cake? You got the cake because you followed the recipe. Okay, well, that's what Allah has revealed to us. The talk about a cookbook, right? I mean, the Quran is like, what are you trying to make? What are you trying to make? But the first thing to make is yourself. The first thing is to make yourself. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَخَالِكُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ تَخَالِكُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Structure yourself in accordance with the nature and structure and form that Allah has for you, right? According to the building blocks that Allah has provided for you. And in that verse 30-30, لا تبديل لخلق الله. Don't change. I'm going to say the recipe.
Don't change the recipe.
Okay. All right. So that's what we're talking about. Okay. So when we learn how to read them and execute their instruction, which is their meaning in our life, they serve as guidance. So reading the signs of Allah, that's how you get guidance. As obvious as that sounds, you really got to know what that means. You know, reading the signs of Allah to get the guidance of Allah. There is a question: are you interpreting it correctly? Are you interpreting it correctly? And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to guide us to that. But then also, what Allah's well, the book itself, the Quran itself. It's self-consistent. It's self-consistent. That's why those who study tafsir of Quran, and you know about Quran bil Quran. It's one of the best ways of understanding the Quran is the internal consistency of the Quran itself and seeing the correlation. I'm going to call it hyperlinks in that world, the way information flows, hyperlink. If you can understand the hyperlink of one verse to another verse and this verse to that verse, and then when you understand that, you say, oh, okay, well, this verse connects with that, and that verse connects with this, so therefore these verses together are saying this, okay? Now what you have to do is call it tests that you've discovered, apply it in the real world, see what its consequences are. And if we are on guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there should be a good reason. Okay. So let's look at this set of verses here. I'm just going to read a translation. you could, mashallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you go into your breakthrough, mashallah. If you're in the position, that's got to be your orientation. I want to be clear, and this is no boast. What I'm telling you that you can do if you want to do, but they need to do, or inclined to do. You know, any positive take on whatever I'm saying, just do that. I said, it's like, I can do it by the grace of Allah, inshallah. I'm not trying to compare myself to I can't do it as good as Joe, I can't do it as good as Sue. I'm not even doing any comparisons like that. But what I'm saying is that you can do if you have the time, the energy, the inclination. You can do what I'm saying, i.e., go into the Arab, go into the grammar, go into the terminology itself, go into all those many things that come when you do that. So therefore, if that's your interest, that's your capability, that's your inclination, Allah has blessed you. It's good, it's wonderful. Do that. Do that for the people. Put it on the table for humanity. We have those who are doing that. But I'm saying that to those of you who may make the mistake, I'm trying to protect you from making a mistake. That, well, what are you doing using the translation? That's not what I'm focused on. I'm not focused on the translation. I'm just using the translation as a means to conceptually show you what the richness that's in there. Now, if you really want to do some gold digging in the best sense, well, then, yeah. You go ahead, take that deep dive, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Make sure you take plenty of provisions with you, and the best provision is taqwa, but you're going to be in there a long time. If you got that time, if that's your life, if that's your inner, if that's what you need, alhamdulillah. If Allah intends that for you, praise Allah. May Allah bless you, guide you, to bring this richness from that way of approaching it. Share it with us. Those who are already doing it, continue to share it with us, because we're all going to be enriched by it. That's not my inclination on this platform. Okay? So much for that. So I'm trying to get you to understand the concept. Concept. So you stay with me, inshallah, you'll see. You'll see that. Inshallah. All right, 41:10-12.
Surat al-Fusilat. And one of the translations of it. Explained in detail. That which is explained in detail. MashaAllah. That's because that's a part of what we're about to do. MashaAllah, with Allah's help and grace and protection and permission. That's what we're about to do right now. Explain
in detail, more detail than the translation. Because we're starting out with abstracts. Let's go. He set on the earth mountains standing firm high above it, and bestowed blessings on the earth, and measured them in all things to give them nourishment in due proportion in 4 days in accordance with the needs of those who seek assistance. Moreover, he comprehended his desire in his design. Moreover, he comprehended in his design the sky, and it had been as a smoke. He said to it and to the earth, come ye together, willingly or unwillingly. They said, we do come together in willing obedience. So he completed them as seven firmaments in 2 days, and he assigned to each heaven its duty and command. And he adorned the lower heaven with lights and provided it with guard. Such is the decree of him, the exalted in might, full of knowledge. All right, I've said all I'm going to say about translations. All right, so now let's Here's how I want you to appreciate what he says. So this is a picture you have in mind. What is this? This is for the purpose of thinking about what I'm speaking about. Okay? This is a picture to help give you an analogy for what this set of verses is actually talking about. This map of the earth, this map of North America, okay? Without any other details, all you see is just a large shape outline of it. Okay? I want you to see that as the first state of our brain when it comes into existence. We're born, you know.
And that's supposed to be a quote unquote a full-blown brain. But other than the fissures or whatever those holes are, the point is it's really
undefined.
Undefined. Just like that map, it's undefined, and that brain is undefined. Right? And now, when you look further, so you have that. So you see here a little more definition, coming in here. So here's now a brain that has been separated into different parts, right? Frontal lobe, parietal lobe, occipital lobe, cerebellum, temporal lobe, spinal cord, etc. All this is a part of the brain. So that's a little more detail. Then I want you to take a step further. There's even more detail here, and that is. So now you see Canada and all of its different states, and you see the lower 48 of the United States, and then that's more detail. So let's go back up. So first you have it like that, undetailed. Then after that, you have it slightly more detailed. And then after that,
in greater
detail. That's just to understand the progression from unformed to fully formed, from no detail to full detail. Then, now here, I want you to now make the movement from the brain, its maturity, okay? So alhamdulillah, we've blessed with a new grandbaby, so that brain development is continuing its growth by virtue of being exposed to this environment, right? So all these different skills that are represented in the details and that brain map right there, those are being cultivated with the growth of the child. Now, what is also happening with human beings, young and adult, is that a network of mental patterns, mental map, are also being developed, right? And that is what gives rise to the mind. So the mind is the personalization of the brain, okay? So you got this idea, this abstraction, so you have this illustration, that illustration is less so to represent the physical aspect as it is the quote-unquote mental aspect. So that's a whole nother world. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا أَخَرَ Well, the خَلْقًا أَخَرَ is the mind after the brain has been fully formed. The mind after the brain is this consciousness. There's a whole nother creature. Consciousness, whole nother. Brain, that's one thing. Consciousness is a whole nother creature. But the brain becomes the home base, let's call it, the home base for a particular consciousness. And again, we say
that your personality is the personalization of your brain. Okay, so the mind is something that arises from the brain patterns in consequence of the information that the person has taken in. The mind that you have, different than the brain that you have, the mind that you have has come in consequence of the information that you've taken in. And the information that you've taken in comes in consequence of the brain patterns. All right, so these are images that you've seen before. I hope that some of you are able to get to both of these, because I know I'm speaking to things that I'm looking at. So you have a QR code there on the left, and then the old televisions that used to have the snow on it, and then, of course, that's the picture of the cosmos, picture of the universe itself, right? Now, in all three of those, there is information. There's information in the QR code, but if you don't have the mechanism for abstracting or extracting or revealing the information that is in that QR code, then it's nothing but black and white, blocks of types, different types, right? All right, same way with the television. The television signal, that snow, is all those are signals. They are signals. But we experience them all as noise because we don't have the tuning aspect of that television has not been selective about a particular spectrum of signal that it wants to bring out, which if it selected one, then it would particularly show a certain set of pictures, a certain set of sounds, et cetera, because it has been tuned into that particular channel, okay? And through that channel, everything comes that is transmitted on that channel. So there's transmission, and then when you have the right instrument, then that instrument can pick up on the transmission, and then the transmission also gives you the information that is also in the signal and separates it from all the noise. Okay, so that television is the machinery or the mechanism by which you can get particular information out of everything that's otherwise just noise. All right? Okay, universe is the same. Universe is the same. The universe is a system of information. The entire universe is a system of information. In and out, up and down, throughout and throughout information. Concrete, abstract, visible, invisible, information. It's all information. All right, who gets it? Who gets the information? Well, the one who has the mind for it. The one who has the mind for it gets that information. So this is an illustration of the mind. So it's like that picture there is talking about not the brain, not the brain per se. We're moving off the brain. We're moving on to the mind, right? And that mind is the personalization of the brain, right? If you literally looked at a brain taken out of the skull of one and a brain taken out of the skull of the other, and you put them both on the table, you don't know whose brain belongs to who. Because of the fact that they're the same brain. They're the same brain. The personalization is the discovery of the thought patterns that make a given brain what it is. That results from information. That is where the formation, being formed on the inside, is the personalization of the brain. So that results from information. And that, where does information come from? It comes in consequence of thought, thinking patterns, right? Thinking patterns. There's a term, myelination. Look these things up, myelination. I was reminded of a publication that I recommended many years ago, Evolution's End is by Joseph Chilton Pierce. Very, very useful information, he talks about myelination. Myelination is the process by which if you continue to think and act in particular ways, then more and more your brain forms those neural patterns, those brain patterns that are designed to facilitate and to make that happen quicker, faster, more efficiently. And what it does in so doing, what occurs is a kind of myelin myelin sheath, S-H-E-A-T-H. A myelin sheath forms around bundles of nerves so that, like a cable, literally like a cable, such that those electrical signals related to a particular way of thinking and acting are facilitated by those patterns, by the brain network, so that it can happen quickly and more efficiently. So that's what you get from athletes who perform certain actions very, very excellently, expertly, and almost unconsciously, is because the myelin sheath and the myelination in their brain and their network, their brain has been conditioned in a masterful way to successfully do that, whatever that thing is, right? And happens, it happens with everything, right? So the information, how it's being formed on the inside, is from the thought patterns, the thinking patterns that we habitually engage, right? Thought patterns then mold and shape our perception. There's a form right there, EVEDA, that I've used for many years. Not elaborating, I'll just say real quickly. First, there's the environment. There's the value of the viewpoints. There's the emotion. There's the disposition, and there is there's the disposition, and then there's the action. EVEDA, environment, values of viewpoints, emotion, disposition, and action. More detail at another time. We've done it before. But the point is that the prediction and the responses of us are all born of the thought patterns, the thinking patterns, the way that we've been formed on the inside, the myelination of our brain. It shapes our perception. So people see things in a particular way and value things at a particular level based on their own, the personalization of their own brain. We call it mind, based on their thought patterns. Okay. So now, the right information, the right, quote unquote, the right brain patterns, which is what the imam is telling us. Let me go back so you can stay connected with this aspect of it. Where the imam says, we all begin as thinkers, and we all begin with patterns of thinking. Our thinking takes patterns, and if we do not have an orientation that has as its source in matter, in the real natural world creation, if we do not have our beginning there, then we take patterns sometimes that are faulty from the beginning. One faulty pattern follows another, and most people are just creatures of random thoughts and random patterns of development for the growth of their mind or mentality. The world is in such a mess, right? So the imam is telling us, he's reminding us that, hey, look, you have to make sure that the source of your thinking is in accordance with the nature of matter, right? And, okay, having done so, then what you are endowed with, in consequence, what you're endowed with is the capacity to abstract and extract particular information from the universal knowledge in the macrocosm.
Tell you the truth, I was sitting here thinking that, okay, well, maybe they're going over to the Facebook and the YouTube side of it so they can see the visuals. But now I look up and I say, well, no, you're disconnected. So listen, I'm going to say it again. I mean, it's on me, but I do want you to understand. When something like that happens, text me anyway. You know, just text me and say, hey, you're off. All right. Okay, so hopefully you did actually go over to Blog Talk and you've been with me, mashallah. So, all right, so we spent those last couple of minutes getting to the issue of this abstractness and exactness. And that, brothers and sisters, is what we actually have in the Quran. Let's take a little slower walk. We're not going to get through all of this, but a portion of it. Okay, 41, 7 through 10. He set on the earth mountains standing firm above it and bestowed blessings on the earth and measured therein all things to give them their nourishment in due proportion in, it says, four periods, right? All right. It says days. See, this is where, when you go into the Arabic of it, you know, the term, whatever language that's used there, when a translator translates, they are choosing among several possible ways of, quote unquote, translating a word. They're choosing one or the other, and their translation of a verse with, they approach it with their frame of reference. They approach it with their mindset, literally. Mindset, every time you use that word, is not a bad thing. Everybody has a mindset. But the point is that everyone has to make a choice when you are translating something or deriving meaning or saying what something means. You have to choose, okay, what do you call it? This one chose to call it days. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he speaks of it as periods. And when he speaks of those periods, it's also parts. He speaks of it as parts. And all of that has to do with inference making. All that has to do with what is the big picture? What is the big picture that you are using to frame whichever part it is, i.e. a verse, for example? So when we look here at this verse, he set on the earth mountains, right? Set on the earth mountains, then what is this earth here? This earth is the human being. The brain itself is also, the head itself is also a mountain. The head is also a mountain, standing high and firm above, bestowing blessings on the earth. This is speaking about the executive function of the brain. It's the brain that gives self-control and self-management and direction for the person, right? And this measurement, in due proportion in four periods, there's a lot of ways that it can go. We can talk about the scientific method, which has to do with observation, hypothesis, testing, and conclusion. That is also a part of it. In order to advance, in order to grow, in order to get higher knowledge, which is the mountain, which is providing stability for the earth, you grow and you evolve through that. Also, you have the four stages and the four phases, which Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah alayh, which he also speaks of intuition, common sense, science, revelation. Intuition, common sense, science, and revelation. These are all forms of knowledge, the highest of which is revelation. We know also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. These are just some of the elements of what's saying. There's a whole other set, but I just want us to understand it. So when Allah says he set on the earth mountains standing firm and high above, bestowing blessings on all, these are how these blessings come through. These blessings come through and these stabilities come into our life and we get our nourishment and we get our balance in the earth and we benefit. It also says, even in the end, where it says the needs of for those who seek. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says the right question is half of knowledge. The right question is half of knowledge. Those, the sa'ilin, those who ask, those who have questions. Isaac Newton is labeled here in the West as being profound because of his strength in ability to ask the right questions. Well, we already know from Al-Islam that, yeah, that is one of the strong
ways by which man advances, man progresses, man achieves his development and higher proportionality by being able to ask the right questions. So stages of competence, they are also in four. You know, you have the unconscious incompetent, the conscious incompetent, the conscious competent, and the unconscious competent. Those four stages come to that completion, come to that growth and development. And, of course, the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحْ اسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَالَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَادَى. Allah is the one, خَلَقَ, gave everything its form. فَسَوَّى, is placed within the system. وَقَدَّرَ, and potentiated it. And potentiated, فَهَادَى, gave everything its potential to move from simple to complex. Everything that we've talked about, even in just this first verse, has had this movement. It was given a form. It was given a place within the system. It was given a potential to grow from simple to complex. Even mountains grow from simple to complex. And then also had a role or place for guidance. That is, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is for the guidance of the human being. It's for the guidance of the human being. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَا يَعْتُ لِكَوْمِ يَتَفَكِّرُونَ. Everything in creation is a sign. Everything in creation is a sign. It is something that is communicating information. And if you can read the sign, then go this way. That's what, if the sign says go this way, then you read the sign, then go that way, right? That's in the nature of creation. But this is all, again, a process, and we spent many, many units, inshallah, and we have part of it translated, but inshallah, or rather transcribed, when we did the significance of the rod of Moses. The significance of the rod of Moses, it's very much tied to the executive function of the brain, the executive function of the brain. In fact, the model that's used for the brain would fit or fits the idea of Moses' rod. Okay. But let that be an understanding. We'll bring more even to this, inshallah, next week. But let's see if we can just get through the first surface level of these. All right, so the point is that in that section of verse 41:10, then its implication is its brain function at the highest level. It's brain function at the highest level. And when you have brain function at the highest level, that's how you get your nourishment, right? That's how you get your nourishment. That's how things come into proportion, things come into completion. Let's move to verse 11. Moreover, he comprehended in his design the sky, and it had been as a smoke. And he said to it and to the earth, come ye together, willingly or unwillingly. They said, we do come together in willing obedience, right? Now, moreover, he comprehended in his design. That is, Allah's intention, Allah's plan for the nature of what he created, for the nature of what he created and what he is creating for us as human beings, in his design, the sky in it was as a smoke, right? You can begin in terms of understanding, because inside of this the subject is what is the meaning of a wudu'. And one of the conclusions we came to in the previous 2 weeks is that the untrained mind is a mind that's in the state of wudu'. That is, the untrained mind can look at the nature of creation and all they see is noise. They don't see the signal. That's the untrained mind. It's there, but they're not seeing reality. And they're unable to derive from seen information and knowledge by which they can be guided. That is being in the state of gurur. But why is it a state of gurur? Because it's a state of unformed mind, unformed consciousness, uninformed mind and uninformed consciousness, right? So when Allah begins his creation, when we begin our creation, that's how we all start. We all start, I mean, even before, we start off, quote-unquote, consciously knowing nothing, As we grow, we get more informed, and so more and more things become particular things, right? Even as babies, we have to find out, oh, what is this?
as babies, we find, oh, that's mine. You know, so it's a long time before you get to know who am I, right? So your feet, you start getting more and more control of it. So it's moving out of that smoke state, right, that confusion state. With its development comes form and function. Form and function comes with the development. So that is a statement about our consciousness and about our mind before it comes into its destined design, right? There's a design that Allah khalaqa fasawwa wa qaddara fahada. There's a destiny for everything that Allah created, including us. So when Allah speaks about the sky, it's talking about our higher state, our higher mind, our higher way of being, that level that is beyond the material. That's it. That's how it is before, right? And he said to it and to the earth, come ye together willingly or unwillingly. I'm going to be brief. We're going to elaborate on this more next week. Willingly or unwillingly, you can take that also to be, are you going to work to construct yourself willingly, or are you going to be forced to do so? Are you going to work to construct yourself willingly, or are you going to be forced to do so? See, a Muslim is one who resigns their will to the will of Allah. So that's a willing submission. Some people have to come to obedience by force. They have to come to obedience by force. So there are difficulties. And you can continue to disobey in the nature of creation, which is made of khair and shar. The creation has khair and shar, potential benefit, potential harm. When you submit your will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah guides you to the khair. Allah guides you to what is best and what is most beneficial under every circumstance by his grace. But if you don't submit your will to Allah, then you blindly go into life and act in ways without respect for this nature in creation, and many times you get hurt. You get hurt. But then after being hurt so many times by our own disobedience, if there's hope and if there's mercy from Allah in us, then sooner or later we will learn. No, I can't do that. So I'm going to come and obey. In the case of the example I'm giving you, they come and they obey, but they were forced to come to obedience because they didn't willingly resign themselves to Allah's will. They said, well, no, I'm going to do it my way. Okay, bang, bang, bang. But then if by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, enough of that. Let me get over here and give them this. So Allah says, come ye together willingly or unwillingly, it's the option that's open to all of us. Are you going to obey Allah willingly, or are you going to obey Allah unwillingly? So either way you're going to obey, either way you're going to obey because it's you're going to come under my law and its consequences no matter what your will is. Now, how do you want to do it? Okay? So come ye together willingly or unwillingly. And, of course, the natural creation says we come together in willing obedience, right? So when we say it was as a smoke, they say it's all ghurur. It's all an illusion. And most all human beings, life is an illusion to them. It's like, and you have those people that sell the issue of life is an illusion. That is, there are people whose lives it's not resting, and they're not walking on any particular solid foundation for the steps that they take in their life, for their life, and the plan that they see unfolding or present, i.e., they don't have a plan. They don't see a plan. They don't see an order. They don't see a path to follow to get to point from point A to point B, or what step to take after this step, et cetera. It's all ghurur. They are confused. They have no guidance, right? That's how we all start until we choose, by the grace of Allah, Allah enables us to see a patterning in life because
we get information that points us to that. Okay, I've gone over my own time. So let me go ahead and I'm gonna cut myself off here and give an opportunity for you. I'll look at some of these comments again. Blog Talk, my apologies. You probably can't get in right now, but there are a couple of you still there online. If you have a question, you can push one on your phone. But let me tick through some of these real quick as we conclude. All right, so what do we have? If that's so, why is revelation greater than creation-based science? Okay, I don't know which particular part of my comments were there, but I'll speak to that. One is revelation is knowledge that's beyond the creation. Let me compare the two sides. Well, let's go with Imam al-Ghazali real quick. Imam al-Ghazali, he points out that knowledge is on these four planes, right? There's intuitive knowledge, intuitive insights, that is knowledge that comes from, insightful inspiration, let's just call it. And that's knowledge. But that knowledge is not as strong or as dependable. In fact, you can't depend on intuition. You can't predict intuition because it comes spontaneously, immediately. So it's like you never know when it's coming, right? So that's spontaneous knowledge, even though from deeper sources inside of ourselves and from the nature of creation. But that's intuition, right? Common sense. Common sense is the sense information. Allah has created us in such a way that we trust sense information, no matter how incomplete it may be, but you don't understand how incomplete it is until you get to that next level, which is science. Before that, all we know is what we experience with our five senses, and Allah has created us in such a way that we trust our five senses, and that's a blessing. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. What if we were creatures born not trusting our five senses? I don't know, what is that, really? No. Our five senses are stronger and more predictable than in their value, in the value of what they abstract for us. That is my eyes. Hey, my eyes, what my eyes see, hey, I trust what my eyes see. What my ears hear, I trust what my ears hear. I'm not talking about gossip. I'm just talking about there's a sound over there. Same with the smell, blah, blah, blah. So those five senses, they have knowledge. But then we learn that through science, so other methodologies, and being able to see into, this is what's hidden in that word, scientist. Scientist is see into. So it's like there are things that we see on the surface, all right, but then we come to find out that what I see on the surface is not all there is to that thing, whatever that might be, right? Same way with sounds, right? Different sounds. Something can sound like X, Y, or Z, but then when we get close to whatever is making that sound, we realize that, oh, it's not what it sounded like, right? So science is the same way with everything material. Science is like right now, quantum physics, right? Quantum physics is beyond the quote-unquote Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics was higher than what was known in terms of material information, but then when a higher level of physics came in, that was good until it was displaced in the early 20th century. Now, revelation, the beauty of revelation is that if the science is true, revelation, mashallah, revelation will affirm it. Revelation will affirm it. So while revelation can affirm science, science can't confirm revelation in the sense of pre-endorsing it, meaning that, well, it ain't true until science says it's true. No, it is the other way around. With true revelation and true science, Imam Muhammad says, true science is the correct interpretation of the material creation. And scientists today say, and I subscribe to it, scientists today say that physics tells us about the operations of creation, but nothing about its nature. Physics tell us about the operation of creation, but nothing about its nature. And what Revelation does, it tells us about the nature of creation. And that's one of the things that makes it superior to material science. Material science is limited to things that can be judged on a cause and effect level, things that can be, whatever, palpably tested, taste, touch, et cetera, but that's not all that there is. I'm going to have to step away from this question. Just throw out the language that's used for it. It's called the hard problem. Just look that up, the hard problem. David Chalmers, I'm saying because this is just a way to use for to get to some of what I'm saying. Al-Islam has already covered that, but I'm talking to some worldly people that address that. And another one is Rupert Sheldrake, Sheldrake. Even though he's not from quote unquote from revelatory religious perspective, he's coming from a perspective that, well, the way that science is being done today, it has become itself an idol. The way that science is done today, it has itself become an idol. So he has this piece called Science Set Free. And so he takes the fundamental rules and axioms that are given as, you know, orthodox, the canon of science, and say, well, how can that be the case? Only if this is that, is this and that. So he points out, even from inside of science itself, the weakness of the positions that they've taken in the name of science and the like, a large part of which is eliminating the idea that there is God and that there is a purpose in creation. So that's as much as I can say about that today. But Revelation is higher because it reveals also, before science even gets there, Revelation is already there. That verse 23:12-14, those set of verses, 23:12-14, that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the unlettered prophet, over 1,445 Islamic calendar years ago. That is confirmed by science when we finally had the ability to look into the womb and follow the development of the embryo from zygote to full developed human being. It confirmed, that is, science was only able to confirm what Allah had revealed to the prophet before. So a revelation precedes, quote-unquote, material science in its exposing and bringing knowledge. And then the rest of it is that look at how Islam brought about the Renaissance and all the rest of that. Let's see what else we can. Good. Thank you so much for your question. Let's go hit this. Creation-supported social logic. I noticed 41:10-12 speaks of 4 days, then 2 days, a total of 6 days. Recently I read where medical scientists say the human brain has 6 layers, correct? Also, your photos show 4 lobes a quarter. That is correct. Very good, very good. Of the human brain, that's correct. Each quarter responsible for mental and spiritual functions. I thank Allah for raising us here in America to be introduced to Quran through Imam. I'm with you. Allahu Akbar. All I can say is amen or ameen. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All right, how do we train the mind to do it? All you have to do is, well, Allahu A'lam, I just say, just have to keep thinking. Listen, how many people are not in the habit of just thinking? How many people are not in the habit of just asking questions? How many people have lost their curiosity about this, so therefore they don't investigate anything? Well, what if, you know, more and more ask ourselves the what ifs. Stay, keep founded, keep grounded, but be more curious. That's really how it is. Be more curious. Why is it this way versus that way? You know, some of the, I'm telling you, it can happen in some of the common phrases that you just say every day. I'm not even going to try to pull out an example. The point is, there are things that we say out of our mouth habitually, and we don't even think about it. We don't even think, what does that really mean, right? So the point is, just beginning to just think, that begins to shape our minds differently. All right, brothers and sisters, thank you so much, and I beg your forgiveness for my shortcomings and errors. May Allah guide us to the best, and may Allah guide us nearer to the path, even in this. Thank you again. Allah's peace be on you. Have a wonderful day, inshallah. So you'll be joining us tomorrow for Wealth Creation and Preservation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.